Well, good morning, One Church. Who is ready to receive something from the Lord this morning? Who's ready for a good service? You mean vocal, people. Come on, let's try this again. Who's ready to receive something from the Lord this morning? Better. Redverse, I'm believing that I heard you scream there. So Redverse, we are pumped to know what God is going to do in your life. If you're tuning in online, thank you for joining us this morning. We're believing that God is going to enrich you greatly with the message this morning. We just give it all to Him. Amen? We just give Him the control. We give Him the message in our hearts. And we just ask Him to speak to us and move mightily in each and every one of our lives. So we are continuing this series called What is Love? And last week we looked at what love isn't. And we picked on football. And we had a Steelers fan and we prayed for him because he's cheering for the wrong team. But we said that that's not love. What we feel towards food and what we feel towards football, that's not actually love. And this morning we're diving into probably one of a hot topic. We're diving into what is marriage. Because this is not as clearly defined as it once was. This has become, marriage it's not the value that God instilled in us and teaches us about in Scripture. And what happened was, and I'm going to connect it to what we talked about last week, when we start overusing love, and we start using love to describe the way we feel about everything, we start giving permission for us to love anything. And more importantly, we start giving permission to love anybody. And so all of a sudden, marriage isn't defined the way that Scripture tells us and how the church has defined it for years. But all of a sudden, marriage is being defined by culture. Marriage is being taken over by the government and being like, oh, this is what marriage is. And it starts to, just as love has started to lose its weightiness, marriage has started to lose its weight. It started to lose its power and its effect in our lives. And all of a sudden, marriage isn't even something that we hold on to anymore. It's something that can be tossed away. I remember watching a Mercedes-Benz commercial. And it's talking about how sometimes you just need something new. And it's the scene of this guy driving down the road. And it first pops up a new house. Next pops up a new job. And next pops up a new wife. Like, Mercedes-Benz was advertising the fact that sometimes you just need something new, and one of those things that you can just get a new thing of is a new marriage. It's gotten to the point where marriage isn't even something that people strive for anymore. The vast majority of our culture will just live together, and they don't see the point of getting married. They don't see the value of getting married. It's just like, well, some people do it. It's kind of that religious thing now. And I know that this just breaks the heart of God, because this God gave us this covenant that is supposed to be so meaningful, so rich, something that we are to look forward to. And it's lost it. So this morning we're going to dive into what did God say about marriage? What is His plan for it? And I want to start by saying, if you're single, because every time someone talks about marriage, single people seem like they get permission to tune out. I was there for a long time, sitting right around where Blair's sitting right now, actually, being like, here we go again, talking about marriage. Okay, this is my encouragement as the guy who was there, not there anymore. If you are single, this is not your opportunity to tune out. I need you to listen very closely for two reasons. One, you're not going to be single forever. Maybe. I mean, Paul says that some people are called to be single. That's awesome. Good on you. That's all the power to you. But some are not. Some are desperately waiting for the right person to come along. And so these are good tools, good tips that when that day comes, you can put it into practice. And not just when you get married. It's good practice for when you are dating. Good practice when you're getting engaged. But the other important reason that all the single people, all the single ladies, okay, I had to. The reason you all need to be listening is because we married people need help, right? Marriage isn't always easy. And so when we know the keys and you know the keys, you can come alongside and be like, hey, can I help in any way? Can I encourage you? Or they can start seeing some warning signs and be like, hey, you know what? You might want to course correct here before it becomes a big issue. Because it always starts small. It's not like one day people just wake up and be like, oh, well, I'm done with my marriage. No, it's something. It starts small and it builds and it builds and it builds. And we need people in our life that are have permission to speak into our lives and say, whoa, this is an issue. You're starting down a path that is going to have a result that you do not want. And we need you guys as our single friends to come along and be like, be that person in our life. We need our married people, we need to stick together too. But we need our single people to keep an eye on us as well. So, with all that being said, we're going to start off with what marriage is. We're going right back to Genesis. Genesis 2. Let's see if this is going to work. Maybe. There we go. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of the ribs and closed up its space with flesh. This is very slow. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought it to the man. The man said, this at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It is not good for man to be alone. But the first most important thing that has been disputed, marriage between man and a woman. That is the undeniable, unmistakable first thing that we learn about marriage. It is between a man and a woman, and I'm not saying that to offend anybody. I'm not saying that to upset anybody. If you're tuning in online and that upsets you, that's what the Bible says. And it's not like it just, this is like a one-off, God said it once and then he kind of walked away from it. This comes up over and over and over again. Marriage is between one man and one woman, and that's all I'm going to say about that. We need to lay that foundation. Because that has been hotly debated as of late. But, so marriage is between a man and a woman. Number two, Matthew 16:19-6, Jesus quoting the same verse out of Genesis. They are no longer two but one flesh, what therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Point number two, marriage is forever. Marriage is not this disposable thing. Marriage is not this thing that we just like, well, it's not working or it's too hard or whatever, and I'm going to just toss it away. No, marriage is a lifelong, forever commitment. It is a covenant that you go into with no back door, no plan B, no foot out just in case, no, you know, hooks in somebody. Marriage is a forever, and it's worth fighting for. Jesus said it's so much forever that you are no longer two separate people, but you're actually one person. In fact, he says it should be, what he's saying is it should be so painful for this relationship to be torn apart that it'd be similar to losing a limb. That's what he's talking about when he says one. The unity of thought, the unity of mind, the unity of will, the unity of vision is so tight, so rich that it should be painful. The thought of it even coming apart should be like the thought of losing a limb, a physical part of you. I don't know about you, but I'm not planning on throwing away an arm anytime soon. Yeah, the two shall become one, and what God has brought together, let no man separate. Marriage is worth fighting for, but that unity has to be fought for. It has to be worked on. It has to be developed and nourished and nurtured. And it has to be held on to so tightly that there's nothing can come between it. The same way you wouldn't let something get in between you and a limb, like you don't want to insert something into your shoulder socket, you shouldn't want anything to get between you and your spouse. But things do. Things start to weasel their way in. Things start to try to come between you and start to steal your attention. And there's two easy ways for us to tell if something is trying to get in between the unity of us and our spouse. Number one is, where's the money going? Number two, where's the time going? Because you will invest your money and you'll invest your time in the things that are most important to you. And if your marriage is important to you, that should be right at the top of the list. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that our marriage needs to be invested in, not just, and I'm not just, when I say time, I'm not saying like just spend lots of time, you know, on each other's phones, watching TV or whatever. No, it's talking about, yes, it's quantity, but it's quality time. It's putting the phone down, throwing it in the box, talking to each other. Because one of the mistakes we make in marriage is the fact that we think that our spouse is just going to stay the same as the day we got married to them. And they're not. Their interests change. Their passions change. What God is teaching them changes. And if we're not checking in on a regular basis, asking about that stuff, seeking each other, and actually encouraging each other in those things, we start to lose touch. And then those things have an easier time weaseling in. Unity must be fought for. It must, and we have to like really invest in our marriage in order for those things to maintain and grow and become all that God desires for them to be. Marriage is forever. Unity is of the utmost importance. And it needs to be the example of unity, because our kids are going to look to us and see what unity looks like. The people around us, our neighbors, are going to look and see what unity looks like. They're going to look to see what a strong marriage is. And we have the God of the universe who defined marriage, who set marriage out. And the world needs to see the fact that our marriage is strengthened, not because of how strong I am, but because of the fact that, despite the fact that I am broken, God is strong enough to make my marriage strong. Edit. Thank you, Blair. We need more of that. Am I preaching good, or are we just kind of like putting you all to sleep? Come on, people. And this is a really hard message for me. God put it on my heart, and I got all fired up, and I'm reading it, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, I actually need to do that. Because there's, here we go, full disclosure. I don't know the last time I took my wife out on a date. Like, that's tough. And like, I know, it's like, oh, it's transition and everything's changing, da da da. That's a whole bunch of hooey. I just haven't done it. That's the reality. I just haven't done it. And we can make those excuses, right? We start to make excuses about why we're not doing it, why we're letting it slip, why we're not like being the men of God and the women of God and just be, you know. But the reality is that we just need to do it. Put the excuses aside and just step into what it means to have a healthy marriage. Step into what God has called us to. And it all starts, like I said, it starts with love. It starts with unity. Next. And we're going into Ephesians 5. And I know every time someone preaches on marriage, you got to go to Ephesians 5. You probably, if you have your Bible, you're probably sitting there waiting for it as soon as I said we're talking about marriage. But it's, Ephesians 5 is so rich. It's so good. I hope if you have a physical Bible or you're looking on your phone, it is highlighted. It's got notes all over it, because it is the one passage of Scripture. And if you've never read it, today's a good day to read it, because we need to get into it. So Ephesians 5, here we go. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Done. That's all. No, I'm just kidding. That would not go over well. Probably something thrown at me. Blair just got hit, so I don't know what happened, but. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself, and is himself its Savior. We're trying some new technology, and apparently it's a little laggy. Okay. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Ephesians 5:22-30. Marriage and faith go hand in hand. Marriage is really an act of faith. And we need... is it possible to have a strong marriage without God a part of it? Absolutely it is. You can try, but it's going to be hard. I am so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of my marriage, because he is the one who... he is the glue in those tough times. He is the one who gives me the strength and the wisdom to be the good husband that my wife deserves for me to be, especially when I start dropping the ball. He's the tap on the shoulder being like, Matt, you need to fix this. Smarten up. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I need that. Okay, let's unpack this. Wives, of course, Paul always picks on the wives first. I don't know why. Wives, submit to your husbands. Now, that word submit, I'm gonna pick on my wife, because she tells this story all the time and we laugh. When we did our vows, she used that word submit as part of her vows. And leading up to it, she wouldn't say it. She'd always be like, submarine, subway sandwich. Like, just couldn't, like, get it out, right? Like, just always made that joke. And I think submit has, like, this really bad, like, vibe when we say it. And we're like, ooh, we can't say that word. But submit is actually a really good word. Submit is not identifying the wife as the weaker partner in this marriage, okay? That is not what submission is. Submission actually is a word that defines, makes actually what... it emphasizes the strength of the wife's role in marriage, because submission is hard. Submit, like, and it's the foundation of our Christian faith. As disciples, we are called every day to submit our will to the Lordship of Christ. We are called to submit ourselves to his teaching, just as Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father to die on the cross and take away the sins of the world. Submission is hard. Submission is huge. And so wives, when Paul says you are to submit to your... is actually like just saying, because you can. He's got trouble with it, but you can do it. You can submit, and it is an act of obedience to Christ, because there are days when your husband is probably going to be hard to submit to. But you are submitting to him on the basis that God has called you to it, in the same way that you submit to Christ in everything, in every decision, in every conversation, in every space that you step into. And on top of that, I'll get into the husbands later. But actually, no, I'm going to pick on the husbands now. On the flip side of it, husbands, in order to help our wife live out her calling to be submissive, can we actually be the heads of our household every once in a while? Like, I'm not saying that we don't, but sometimes we drop the ball. And here we go. I'm just like, here's open book, Matt. There are lots of times where my wife is the spiritual head of my house, because she is the one who instigates prayer at meals. She is the one who pushes for prayer at night. She's the one, and I'm just like, and I'm more than happy to let her do that. I'm more than happy, but then I read this and I'm like, ugh, that's not good enough. That's not how this role works. I'm supposed to be the head. I'm supposed to take the charge. I'm supposed to make the push. And so, husbands, we can really make it hard for our wives to submit if we are not being the leaders that are worth submission to. So, husbands, this is much a call for us to step up our game as it is for our wives to come under our leadership and come Now I'm going to talk. Now I'm going to peg on the husbands. Paul says we're to love our wives in two ways. One, we're supposed to love our wives the way Christ loves the church. Now, one of the foundations of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the fact that He never stops loving us. He never stops pouring out on us. He never stops forgiving us. He never stops, and He never pulls away. James says that we, as we draw near to God, God draws near to us. Jesus is always near. He's always present. And we know that in our darkest times, God is usually there at His very nearest. And so Paul says, in the same way that Jesus loves the church, men, you are to love your wife. In Colossians 3, Paul goes on to say, he says, do not be harsh or do not be bitter towards your wife. Harshness and bitterness come as a result of unforgiveness. Offense. We've taken offense, right? And we hold on to the offense, and all of a sudden we become bitter, we become unruly, we just become difficult to live with, guys. We can do that. Like, believe it or not, newsflash. I know, that's shocking. But we can. We can let these things sink in. And Jesus say, and Paul saying, no, you are to love as Christ loves. He forgive as Christ forgives. You are to be the spiritual head the way that Christ is the spiritual head of the church. Love without condition. Love without restraint. Now on the flip side, ladies, help us in that, because sometimes, I'm going to say it, you're going to be difficult to love. Deb's amen, amening me. So, husbands, wisdom there. Nobody said it. So that was good. That was good. But seriously, this goes hand in hand. Guys, we need to be the kind of leaders that our wives can submit to. Ladies, we love you, but sometimes you make it hard. So help us. Be gracious with us. Stop nagging. I said it. It's out there. It's on the internet. I'm in trouble now. But seriously, though, help us help you help us. Okay? That's kind of what I'm... It all comes back to unity. It all comes back to love. It all comes back to this. Paul says that wives submit, but really the kind of love that Paul is calling husbands to give towards their wives is very submissive. It's sacrificing our will, sacrificing our desires, sacrificing what we want so that we can love our wives better, love our spouses better. It is a mutual submission. It's a mutual love and giving of one another. And one of the most profound things I ever heard, especially, and it comes back to the second part, Paul says, love as Jesus loves the church, but also love as though they were your own body. And so, guys, that's a call for us to just think about what are the desires and what are the things that we want in life. And we just want to be ourselves. We don't want to change. We don't want to have to be pretend to be something we're not. We just want to be ourselves. Well, guess what? Newsflash, your wife does too. So create the space for your wife to just be who God has created her to be, and don't expect her to change. Ladies, same expectation. Anyways, but seriously, it is our responsibility to create safety for her to express her emotions in those times of vulnerability. It is our job to create the space for her to be who she is, to express who she needs to express, and just be who she wants to be. And if we can't create that safety and she starts bottling it up, now we have problems. Guys, it is our job. If we have something, if we desire something, we long for something in life, then expect that your wife wants it too. Expect that your wife has visions and dreams, and you need to create the space for her to pursue those visions and dreams just as you would like her to create the space for you to do the same. Love, not just as physically love, not just the physical aspect of it, but as her person, her emotion, her vision, her dreams, her desires. Marriage needs to be this safety place where if we are frustrated, we can voice that without consequence. And that's a really tough spot to be in, is to create this space where if I'm frustrated, I can voice it without backlash. Because there's a humility there for me to be willing to voice that issue. It's a humility for my spouse to be willing to hear it and not take offense of it. Because I'm just trying to express who I am. She's just trying to express who she is. And if we can't do it in our marriage, then where are we going to do it? And are we going to find people who allow for us to be ourselves? And now all of a sudden we have a problem. Our marriage needs to be our safety blanket. It needs to be our security blanket. It needs to be the place and the space that we can just be ourselves. And we need to do that for our spouse. And maybe this week that's where it all starts. It's just being like, you know what, I'm sorry for the ways that I have hindered you from being who God created you to be. Maybe you just need to start back at square one. Because your marriage will flourish as a result of it. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to pray. And after our prayer, the worship is going to come up, and just bow with me quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the gold standard of healthy relationship. God, that you have given us all the tools, all the gifts, everything we need to be successful in marriage. Whether we are married or we're moving towards marriage. God, I just pray that we don't forget these principles that you've laid out so clearly in Scripture. God, that we would hold on to our marriage with such ferociousness that nothing can come between it. Nothing could ever separate us. Nothing could ever get in the way. And God, I pray that our marriage is this place where we can be safe to be who you created us to be. And that our, God, as spouses, I pray that we would just have the humility and the love and the forgiveness to allow our spouse to step into their calling, step into their identity, step into who you've created them to be. God, I pray that you are working on each and every one of our hearts, because you are the source. You are the one who allows us to love with a love that is unceasing, without circumstance, without condition. Father, strengthen our marriages. Let us be the ones who redefine what marriage looks like in our society. And let us be the ones who gives it the value that those around us would want it because of how good we've got it. Lead and guide us, Father. I just pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Everybody said, amen.